Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, that's our prayer this morning, that you would come and fill this place with your glory so that we can give you praise this morning. But we just want you to be near. We want your Holy Spirit to pour into this place and be with Pastor Cal as he brings the word. He brings the message. As you've been with him all week during his studies, pouring into your word, preparing your word to preach and to teach to his people. Open our hearts that we will be changed and that we'll be transformed from the preaching and teaching of God's word. Bless Pastor Cal. It is in Jesus' name that we pray, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to be in Philemon, the little New Testament book of Philemon again. And I believe that'll be a blessing for you. We started off in Philemon last week and talked about how this is a great book to draw truths about the church, the local church. And I ran across some statistics, but before we give you those about the church, let's honor God's word by standing to our feet if you can. If you can't, just honor God's word the best way you know how. We're going to look at verses 4 through 7, and I believe we'll probably have two more messages out of the book of Philemon. And by the way, it would behoove you to read. There's just, little book's just 25 verses. Just read through it before you come to church. You ought to read your Bible. Just read 25 verses in Philemon every Sunday for the next two or three weeks before you get here, and you'll be ready. So here it is. This is the word of God for God's people on God's day. Verse 4, I thank my God, Paul says. How many of you are thankful? Amen. Making mention of you always in my prayers. Hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. That the sharing of your faith may become... Can y'all hear me in the back? I'm having trouble hearing myself. Okay. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you. Ha ha! In Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Lord, bless the word now. Honor your word. Exalt your word. Lift up your word. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. And give us the courage to say yes to whatever it is you're calling us to do today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. The Barna Research Group, I think it was the Pew Research Group, and Lifeway, a couple years ago decided to do some surveys, and it was a pretty large sample size. And they ask unchurched folks this question, and they ask church folks this question, okay? Here was the question. Do you believe that the church is relevant today in our society? Do you believe the church is relevant today in our society? And 27% of the unchurched people said yes. But here's the one that got me. 33% of the church folks said yes. In other words, the vast majority of the people that were surveyed said the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is not relevant today. Think about that. Wrap your head around that. And if you don't get out and talk to a few folks every now and then, you'll miss out on what they're thinking. But that's what the majority of people think today. The church is useless. It's powerless. It's on the way down. They're not relevant. They're not meeting need. Da, 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 da. That's where we are today. But I'm so thankful that we have this little letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, because we find the ingredients in this letter that make for a great church, make for a relevant church, a useful church, a powerful church. And look at your neighbor and say, we want a relevant church. All right, so let's take a look at this a little bit. Now, remember, we were introduced to some folks last week. We were introduced to Paul and Timothy and Philemon and Apphia, who this church in Colossae met in their home, and then their son Archippus was probably the pastor of this home church. And then we were introduced to this runaway slave that named Onesimus, and we'll talk more about him next week. But what a dynamic letter this is. And through this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, we find that the church, what happened, and really, y'all, here's the bottom line. What happened to Onesimus can happen to anyone. You remember he ran away from his slave owner and took some possessions with him? Thought he'd go hang out for a while in Rome, you know? From Colossae, and he winds up in Rome, and by the grace and the providence of Almighty God, he met the Apostle Paul, who introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Onesimus is now a brother in Christ, and so that's kind of what's going on here. So let's take a look at this, and I'm praying that God would speak to our hearts today about just what it is. By the way, the church in the building. The church is? Yeah. Oh, thank God y'all were listening during children's time. Hallelujah. All right, number one, a great church understands or a useful or powerful or, you know, whatever word you want to use in there, understands the dynamics of church life. Many people think church is just a place to come down to. To drive to. But the church is so much more than that. It's a family in which to belong. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, family. Some of y'all are happy about that. And I'm wondering if some of the rest of you all are not. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, is a living, breathing organism. It is an organization that's going to last for all of eternity. And we've got a sense of purpose here, and we've got a sense of obligation to the Lord and to one another. We're family. How many of y'all remember that old Pointer Sisters song? We are family. I got all my sisters and brothers with me. Yeah. So we're family. We're family. And a family is something to belong to. Amen. And so there are some very simple dynamics that you need to have an understanding of. And if you understand them, then the church will function as it's supposed to. The church needs to understand these dynamics. And I've just picked out four of them. And here's the first one. Look again at verse 4. A relevant church, a great church, is a praying church. I thank my God making mention of you always, always in my prayers. Isn't it amazing how many times we run up on this thing called prayer? You guys are going to get sick of me. You're going to get tired of hearing this, but I'm going to keep preaching it until we become a praying church. A praying church. And I want to tell you what, when we become a praying church, you better get ready. Holy Ghost, heaven sent revival's on the way. Because God loves a praying church. And so Paul's writing here to Philemon, and he said, listen, man, brother, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Who are you praying for today? You know what's interesting to me? When you start reading the prayers, especially in the New Testament, J.D., especially, the prayers in the New Testament, most of them are intercessory prayers. In other words, People are praying for one another. Praying for one another. And every time you come, only two instances in the whole book of Acts can I find individual prayers. In other words, an individual praying to God. All the rest of the time, it's the church praying together. I wished he'd get off that. He's like a broken record. We need to pray together. That's where the power is. I want to tell you what, I've been a part of something like that. And the church I was in experienced, Diana can tell you, we had revival for 5 years. 5 years. Folks being healed, baptismal records, record giving, people going everywhere on mission. It was amazing. And you know how it all started? Prayer. People praying together. And so a great church is a praying church. The majority of teaching about prayer in your New Testament has to do with intercessory prayer, praying for others. So let me ask you again, who are you praying for? And who are you praying with? Here's the second thing. A great church is a loving church. Did you catch that in verse 4? Hearing of your what? Love and faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And so a great church is a loving church. And Paul expresses that love for the church here in Colossae, and specifically his love for that Philemon had for the Lord and his brothers and sisters in Christ. And if you look across the landscape of the American church, all right, the greatest churches are those people, are those churches that really love the Lord and love one another. Because brothers and sisters, the only thing they can't explain is the fact that we love one another. And that we'll love you if you give us a chance. I said, we'll love on you if you give us a chance. I had a new member several years ago when we got started here, and she said, you know, there's something that really amazes me about the church. And Billy, I thought she was going to, oh man, I thought she was going to talk about the great Bible teaching or the great Bible preaching or the wonderful worship service. You know what she's saying? Y'all actually tell one another that you love one another. I said, well, do you believe it? She said, oh yes, I believe it. Don't you ever forget what makes for a great church? A loving church. A church that loves one another. And then here's the third one, a believing church. He says, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all the saints. So Paul's talking here about expressing his gratitude for a believing church, a church with great faith. And you know, brothers and sisters, the church, God's people, is a different organization more so than any other organization in the world. That's because we operate on principles of faith. Oh yeah, there's some business acumen and business principles that you can help apply us when we're making some decisions. But by and large, the church operates on faith. And I want to tell you, some of the budgets and some of the other things that we've done here as a church has really got a few folks scratching their head. We operate on faith and what God tells us to do, brothers and sisters. We don't operate like some worldly organization. We operate on faith. And by the way, when you operate on faith, do you know what the Word of God says? It puts a great big smile on the Lord's face. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Y'all seen that commercial? Got any milk? Got milk? Yeah, question mark. What I want to ask is, you got faith? Where's your faith? Amen. Faith makes for a great church. We're a believing church. And so, and then finally, I like this one. A great church is a ministering church. He says, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. A great church, a relevant church, is a church that ministers not just to one group of people. Bless God, I don't ever want there to be any cliques in this church house. Amen. Amongst us. We don't need cliques. Amen. Jesus came to love everybody. He came for the red and the yellow and the black and the white. He came for the rich and the poor. He came for the young and the aged. He came for the American and the Iranian. Oh. We need to be a ministering church. And we minister to all different types and groups of people. Amen? Amen. I think that's one reason I love the revival services we had in July. Because you're talking folks from all different kinds of backgrounds and walks of life. And so we minister to everyone. There's not just one specific group that we minister to. So a great church is a praying church. What's next? Loving church. What's next? Believing church or faithful church and a ministering church. If you're taking notes, write those four down because you'll forget them as soon as you get out in the parking lot. All right. Secondly, a great church understands the benefits of church life. Now, did y'all know there's some great benefits for being a believer? Watch this. Look at verse 6. That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. What is he saying here? Well, he's saying basically that the effectiveness of Philemon's faith in the lives of other people was totally dependent upon the knowledge or the understanding that he had of what Jesus had already accomplished in him. Do you know what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand that? Well, if you'll wrap your head and your heart around what all Jesus has done for you, it'll just help you in your effectiveness to be a part of what God's called you to do in this church. Now, watch this. Watch this. Paul wanted Philemon to review those things. Why? So that he might understand that what had happened to him in Jesus had happened to Onesimus. And we'll get into that more next week. But here's the first thing. We're going to look at some scriptures, and I know this is tough sometimes, but this is all in your New Testament. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. Come on, let me hear those pages. 1 John 5:18. What has Jesus done for us? 1 John 5 verse 18 says, we know, K-N-O-W, not guess so, hope so, maybe so, I think so, not we know so, that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself and the wicked one does not touch him. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Now, what is he saying here? Well, he's not saying that we don't sin. Not saying that, because obviously, Paul said, man, the things I don't want to do, I wind up doing. And the things I do, I know I shouldn't do, and I do them anyways. But what he is saying here is that once you become a believer, you ought to sin less. In other words, we don't practice sin. It's not the pattern of our life. And we ought to sin less. We don't sin habitually, right? That's what he's saying. And so before you were saved, you didn't really have a choice. Matter of fact, you really didn't even think about it. You just fell headlong into sin. But once you had the person of the Holy Spirit come into your life, you then had the power to overcome sin. And when God looks at you right now, did you know that God, when God looks at you, he views you in the seated position that Christ is seated in? He views you already in heavenly places. In other words, he looks at us as if we are totally righteous, as if we had never sinned. That's what he's talking about. And so he has broken that grip and that power of sin in our lives. Jesus keeps us. And he maintains our salvation. You know, Jesus has a prayer ministry now. And you know who he's praying for? You. And me. He acquired our salvation on the cross and in the tomb, but he's maintaining our salvation in prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you can't keep yourself from sin any more than you can keep yourself saved, but Jesus can. And so when you look back, he has broken that grip of sin in our lives. Somebody shout. Now turn to Romans chapter 5 real quick. Romans chapter 5. We're talking about the benefits of being in Christ, the benefits of church life. He bridged the gap between us and God. Watch this. Romans 5:1, therefore, having been justified by faith, in other words, having been saved, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody shout amen. Amen. You're no longer in hostility with God. He has broken down that wall of separation that was between us and him. Hallelujah. Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. Before we were saved, we didn't have any peace, not real peace. We didn't have any purpose. We were just kind of spending our lives and doing the things that we wanted to do, trying to fill up our lives with stuff that didn't even matter. But hallelujah, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my life. I don't know what it is, Andrew, about these old hymns that come back and grab me. But glory to God, what a change Jesus has made in our lives. So he's bridged the gap. He has taken care of that wall of separation that was between us and God. He's given us peace. And then he's given us the Holy Spirit. Woo, this is good. Look at John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. John 16 and verse 13. If you can't get there quick enough, just write this verse down. John 16 and verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. When you receive the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation, the Spirit of God came in, and he begins to teach us in all truth. Where would you be without the Spirit of the living God today? He tells us when to turn left, when to turn right, when to turn around and go back, when to go forward. He gives us helps us to make the right decisions and choices. You see, the problem is you've got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get, but does the Holy Spirit have all of you? But you've got him, and he'll give you direction. He'll lead you in all kinds of truth. And you know, how many of you have ever been into, I just don't know what to do? You ever ask yourself, I just don't know what to do? I think everybody in here has. I don't know where to go. Well, I want to tell you what, we have the strongest force personality in the universe living in us. And he has the ability to tell us where to go and what to do. So he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's broken the grip of sin in our life. He's broken down the wall of separation. Here's another one. He has given us purpose. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Whoo, I like this. Galatians chapter 1. We're just having good Bible study this morning. I'm doing more teaching than I am preaching. That's okay. Galatians 1 and verse 16. Are you there? Yeah, I'm looking at the screen. You'll remember these verses longer if you look them up. To reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. You see, God had a plan and a purpose in saving Paul, and he gave him a ministry to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. To just preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He gave him purpose. And brothers and sisters, he's got a purpose for you. Do you know God's plan? Do you know God's purpose for your life? Well, overall, it's to glorify him. But he's got a purpose for you. Let me just, can I just get on my soapbox for just a minute? I want to tell you, God hadn't called me to preach politics. He's just called me to preach the gospel. Now, if there's something, some kind of morality issue that comes up, yeah, I can address that. But God primarily has called the pastor to preach the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is the only thing that's going to save somebody. That's the only thing that's going to change somebody. Some new president, some new politician, God bless them, I love them, I pray for them, but they're not going to change your life, but Jesus can and He will. And so I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. That's what we're going to do here. We're not going to haul political parties in here, vote for him, vote for her. No, that's not what our purpose is. Amen? Amen. Half of you are mad and ready to leave town already. God bless y'all. What's your purpose? What has God called you for? Just look at all what all we've got. I could go on and on. What all we have in Jesus. The benefits of understanding who we are in Christ will make you effective in what God's called you to do. Whew. That's a mouthful. I could go on. We better jump to verse 7. You need to understand the dynamics of church life. A great church, a relevant church, a powerful church understands the benefits of church and understands the blessings of church life. Woo-wee! Watch this. Well, let me find Philemon again, bless God. Here it is. For we have great joy. I'm wondering, some of y'all's lips are dragging the ground. We have great joy. You know how you spell Jesus? J-O-Y. Now, we have tough things happen to us. I understand that. We've got tough things that happen to us. But I won't tell you, nobody can take your joy from you. Not if you have Jesus. Whew, man, that's a sermon in and of itself. We have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. And so here's the last one. A great church understands the blessings of Christian life, of the church life. You know, one of the greatest blessings for us in church life is the continual blessing of being around God's people. Just being around God's people. We ought to have to sell tickets for folks to get in here. Philemon's genuine love for the home church that was meeting in his house, his genuine love for them had refreshed the members of that church in Colossae. And they had refreshed the Apostle Paul. The word refreshed here literally means rejuvenated. Does anybody need a little spirit of rejuvenation this morning? A little refreshment? I'm going to pick on her because she'll pick on me. How many of y'all know Carol? I almost said Langford. How many of y'all know Carol Walker? A third of you. The rest of you need to get to know Carol. Do you know why? She has the ministry of refreshment. Every time I'm around here, I walk away just, oh. Come on, Billy, say amen. She has the ministry of refreshment. Here's Betty over here. Y'all, Saturday a week ago, I'd had a really good friend die. And I wasn't going to be able to do her funeral because we were going out of town on vacation. And then there was two or three other things that happened. I mean, I very, very seldom do I get like this, but I was kind of down that day. Most of you that know me, you know that every now and then a pastor gets down. And I was down that day. But bless God, about 5 o'clock Saturday afternoon, I go down to the mailbox. And this sweet little rejuvenator over here, this refresher over here, had written me a card. And I read that thing, and you know what, Betty? I believed every word of it. And I went back up the driveway. I was doing the Holy Ghost step. I was refreshed. And you know what? I could go on. I could just start over here and go around the room. Some of you all have this gift. And if you're feeling down and bad today, go find one of our refreshers. And they'll refresh you. They'll rejuvenate you. When I'm around these type of folks, man, I feel the joy of Jesus flooding my soul. And they refresh me, and what a blessing they are. And so find you a refresher. And I could mention some more in here. Martha Smith's another one. Oh, Brother Cal, give me a hug. If you hadn't had a hug from Martha Smith, you ain't been anywhere close to her. Amen? Y'all, we're so blessed. We are so stinking blessed. Where is everybody else? We shouldn't be able to, there shouldn't be any empty seats in here. Be a blessing to somebody this week. Pour out that spirit of refreshment on somebody. Love on somebody. Pray over somebody. Lead somebody to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so a great church, a church that's meeting needs, a church that's really relevant, a church that's really getting it done, it ain't the building. It's the people. And they understand the dynamics of church life. They understand the benefits of what it means to be in Christ. And they understand the blessing of being a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. Would you pray with me? Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a part of the church. Let me just tell you lovingly, you need the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as Lone Ranger Christianity. And you need to be a part of the church. Selfishly, I'd love to be your pastor. But you need to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask you to just come. This morning, if you'd like to join here, if you'd like to become a member here, if you'd like to be a part of what God's doing here, and we'll share with you what you need to do in order for that to happen. And maybe you're here this morning and God's calling you to some type of ministry. And you're not exactly sure what it is, but you know that God's got a purpose for you and He's pulling on your heartstrings. And you need to come so we can pray over you and just ask God to make it real clear and plain what it is He's wanting you to do. Or bless God, maybe you're here and you call yourself by the name of Christ and you've never been scripturally baptized. Today's your day. Right now. If you'll just come forward, we'll get that set up for you. Don't you want to be a part of a great church? Of a loving church, of a praying church, of a ministering church, of a believing church? Don't you want to be a part of what God's doing? Father, right now I pray those that need salvation would come. Those that need ministry, those that are being called out. I pray right now, Father, for those that need a church home. You're raising folks up, even like the Apostle Paul, and gave him a purpose. Oh, help us, Father, to understand the benefits and the blessing and the dynamics of your wonderful, powerful church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is the most important time of our service. This is the time for people to respond in obedience. We'd love to pray for you, but you got to make the first move. You got to come. You need to come. God doesn't call anybody privately. He calls everyone publicly. Look what He did for us publicly. Take your stand for whatever it is God's telling you to do today. You've already been prayed for. People meet here and they pray over these pews. These aren't pews, these are chairs. But you come, let's all stand. Brother Andrew's going to lead us in a time of response. You come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.